This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns and Chad P.
Humanize him for me. Tell me about him. What is it about?
Well, for me, the one thing that I look at as being one of the best things about Dr. King is that he was a member of my fraternity, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. Mm-hmm. We went through the same initiation.
Uh-huh.
He was initiated.
You're not allowed to talk about it, are you?
Can't talk about those things, as you well know.
Class is in.
This is Rock School on a wonderful afternoon. My name is Joe Burns, a professor here in the Communication Department, Southeastern Louisiana University, sitting as far away from me as he can possibly get inside of this little radio studio. What's your name, kid?
Hey, Chad P.
Now, Chad is always as far as he can get from me because we have two gentlemen in the studio with us. Let me introduce them, and I'll tell you in a second why they are here. Say hello to Eric Summers. He is the director of the Office of Multicultural International Student Affairs. Eric, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Can I call you Eric?
Sure.
Do I have to go with Dr. Summers?
What else would you call him?
I was going to go with Dr. Summers.
Oh.
Dr. Summers?
Dr. Summers sound good, but since you're my friend.
You just go with Eric?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We also have with us Dwayne Donald, Coordinator of Special Projects and Trio on campus. I'll ask you the same thing. Is Dwayne okay, or do I have to go with Dr. Donald?
Dwayne is fine.
Dwayne's fine?
Dr. Donald is still so new to me, so I go by Dwayne.
Why don't we do it, Dr. Donald, then? You'd feel so much better.
The Dwayne would be much better.
Yeah, okay.
Dwayne would be much better.
The reason these two gentlemen are in the studio with us is because I had an idea for Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which, by the way, is the 17th, and it has just passed. If you're listening on KSLU, it's the 20th or the 23rd, so the day has just passed. This radio show is airing after it. And I started looking for songs that dealt with Dr. King. So I called the head of public information on campus, and I said, who are the two King scholars on campus? And your names came up. Smile if you want, but he had high marks for you two gentlemen. And you decided to come in and talk to us about Dr. King today, right?
That is correct.
Right.
Hopefully we do a good job of that.
Oh, I think you will. So what I've done is compiled a large list of songs about Dr. King and songs that were inspired by Dr. King. And we're going to talk to you about his life, some of the things that he did. And we'll come back and do that in just a minute. But let's play a song. We'll come back, talk about Dr. King. Let's do the one everybody knows. If you talk to the rock listener and say, what's a song inspired by Martin Luther King? More than likely, they're going to say U2's Pride in the Name of Love. We'll come back in just a minute with our two guests, Eric Summer and Dwayne Donald, right here, Rock School. This is Rock School as we talk about and celebrate the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We're talking with a couple of people in the studio helping us out today, Eric Summers and Dr. Dwayne Donald. I'm going to stick that doctor in there whether you like it or not. Gentlemen, I'm just going to throw out the opening question. Tell me, since you're scholars of King, simply your favorite fact or story about the man. I mean, humanize him for me. Tell me about him. What is it about him?
Well, for me, the one thing that I look at as being one of the best things about Dr. King is that he was a member of my fraternity, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. Mm-hmm. And Alpha Phi Alpha is one of the oldest and is the oldest black Greek letter black organization that's out there. It was founded in 1906 at the University of Cornell in Ithaca, New York. And him being a member of my fraternity, sticks out very, very fondly for me because we went through the same initiation.
Uh-huh.
He was initiated.
You're not allowed to talk about it, are you?
Can't talk about those things that you well know. But he was initiated in as a graduate student while he was working on his PhD at Boston University in 1952. So we have a common bond as fraternity brothers. So that's one of my favorite things that, you know, when we talk about famous alpha men or famous people in my organization, he being number one in my book.
Right. Now, you say famous alpha men. Who else is in the fraternity?
Oh, there are so many different alpha men that are out there. Andrew Young, who was the mayor of Atlanta at one particular time.
Right.
Thurgood Marshall, who was Supreme Court Justice at one time.
Sure.
Mark Morier, who was the mayor of New Orleans. With the Urban League, as well as his father, who Ernest Morier is a member of Alpha Phi Alpha.
I see his name on a lot of buildings.
A lot of buildings. Yeah. Ernest Morier Convention Center, of course. So, you know, there's a lot of great men of Alpha, and too many to list. And I include myself as one of them as well.
As well you should. You're a doctor now. It's fantastic. How about you, Eric?
I don't know that I have a moment or a story. I remember my mother trying to motivate me using Dr. King, and she would talk about him skipping the 9th grade, skipping the 12th grade, and going to college at age 15.
Yeah.
So I think those were the things she used to kind of motivate me to do well in school.
Did you skip a grade?
No, I never skipped a grade. I was lucky not to repeat in the grades.
I tried, and then they sent me back.
You're not supposed
to be here. Go back to the 8th grade, kid. That's what they did. So let me play another one here. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about Dr. Martin Luther King. This is a guy named Otis Spann. Either of you know him?
I'm not familiar with that name.
This is back from 1968. This is called Blues for Martin Luther King. He's a Chicago pianist, and basically, those who are fans of it, many people call him the greatest piano player to come out of the Chicago blues genre. He wrote this upon hearing the news of Dr. King's assassination. He was scheduled to play a gig that night with Muddy Waters. So this is the song he wrote after hearing about the assassination of Dr. King. This is Otis Spann, Blues for Martin Luther King, right here, Rock School. School, as we dedicate a show to Dr. Martin Luther King. Now, while we were off air, we were talking about this, you and I, Donald, about the fact that he loved music. And I think while I was trying to pitch this show to you and sort of having my fingers and toes crossed, you guys were going to come in and do this show and not sort of leave me out there to attempt to do this by myself, I said, you know, let's humanize Dr. King, because so often to young people today, you know, he's a face on a T-shirt. He's a guy in a grainy black and white piece of footage on the news. And the one thing you said was how much he loved music.
That's correct. Dr. King loved jazz music and blues music as well. And as a matter of fact, recently, Dr. Billy Taylor recently passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned, when I listened to another radio station that talked about Dr. King would go in and sit in on his performances when he was in Washington, D.C. on 52nd Street, if I'm not mistaken. So Dr. King loved jazz and blues music. As a matter of fact, in 1964, he was the opening speaker at the Berlin Jazz Fest.
Was he really?
And if I can quote something that he said, and this is quoting from Dr. King's speech, he says, "Jazz speaks for life. The blues tell the story of life's difficulties, and if you think for a moment, you will realize that they take the hardest realities of life and put them into music only to come out with some new hope or sense of triumph." And he talked about how jazz and blues and all those things was part of the struggle. And he went further on and said that much of the power of our freedom movement in the United States has come from this music, talking about jazz and blues.
Right.
"It has strengthened us with its sweet rhythms when courage began to fail. It has calmed us with its rich harmonies when spirits were down." And now, speaking to that crowd in Berlin at that particular time, he said, "Jazz is exported to the world. For in this particular struggle of the Negro in America, there is something akin to the universal struggle of modern man. Everybody has blues. Everybody longs for meaning. Everybody needs to be loved and loved. Everybody needs to clap hands and be happy. Everybody longs for faith. And in music, especially this broad category called jazz, they're the stepping stone toward all of these. So I think you can feel in those words that he really loved jazz music and blues and felt that that type of music was a part of what the struggle was all about.
Sure, and I get this mental picture because you always see the pictures with the stoic face and all of that, and you get this mental picture of him sitting there with, you know, smiling, happy, you know, clapping his hands together, and as everybody does when you're listening to that kind of music. And I would have liked to see some video footage of that.
I would have loved to have been in the building with him while he's just enjoying the set of some, you know, when you talk about jazz and blues music, and those guys have a great time of, because that's music that comes from the heart.
Sure.
And so when you're talking about guys that are just sitting there jamming, I would love to have seen him just sit there and enjoy those guys while they're just having the jam session.
Yeah, and just riff on it. Here, we're in A. Play. You know, we're going from there. Now, who you said you know who his favorite artist was. Who was it?
I think it was Mahalia Jackson was one of his favorite artists as far as gospel music. Gospel. But if, I think as far as jazz, I would have to say Dr. Billy Taylor, because he, like I said, he would go in and sit down, and when he was in Washington, D.C., would actually go in and catch a set of this guy playing.
And you also think you know what his favorite song was. Yeah, no, you did. Eric, you said you know what his favorite song was.
I'm glad Dr. Donald shared that with us, because
see, he got doctor in there again. Yeah, we're going to do it all hour long.
I didn't know about his love of jazz. I mean, I knew that he loved Mahalia Jackson. That was his favorite artist. And his favorite song was Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
That's right.
And it was actually said that was one of the last conversations he had before he died.
Supposedly with Jesse Jackson.
Exactly. He wanted that played at an event they were to attend. And sadly enough, Mahalia Jackson had to sing that at his funeral.
Yeah.
But she was his favorite gospel artist, and that was his favorite song. And being a minister, you kind of expect that he loved gospel music.
Sure.
When he was 10, he actually he was in a choir that sang at the opening, the Atlanta opening of Gone with the Wind.
So, was he really?
Exactly. Yes, he was.
So, no kidding.
Throughout his life, he's been in the gospel music. So I knew that aspect of it, but I didn't know about his jazz love.
Well, you know, alpha men are, you know, we're broad. You know, we don't put us in this. we're not in the box. You know, we have a variety of interests that we have, and that's just being a member of Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity. So, you know, these things should not be a surprise. But again, if you don't know, you're not a part of the.
And it's great to be able to say the term alpha men.
That's correct.
Let's play one more. This is by Dion, as in Dion DiMucci, Dion and the Belmonts. This is Abraham, Martin, and John. And, of course, the Martin is Dr. Martin Luther King. Right here, Rock School.
Anybody here seen my old friend Abraham? Can you tell me where he's gone?
That's Dion, Abraham, Martin, and John right here in Rock School as we talk about the life and some hopefully new and interesting facts of Martin Luther King. We have in the studio with us Dr. Dwayne Donald and Dr. Eric Summers right here from the Southeastern Louisiana campus. Here's what I hope is a new and interesting question to somebody out there. Every time you hear the name Martin Luther King, Junior is put after it. Well, if there's a junior, there's got to be a senior. What can you tell us about Martin Luther King Sr.? And you're shaking your head. It's not Martin?
Well, actually, he was born to Michael King Sr.
Okay.
And his dad later changed his name and his son's name to Martin Luther King.
Why?
They were renamed after the Protestant leader, the German Protestant leader, Luther.
Because of the 99 elements up on the door?
Exactly. So they started out as Michael King. His dad was known as Daddy King.
Daddy King?
Daddy King.
Not everybody could call him that, really?
Well, I don't know if everyone called him that, but that's what the kids called him, Daddy King.
Daddy King.
And then there was Michael King Sr. and Michael King Jr. And I think he was around the age of 5 when his father's name and his name was legally changed.
He was a minister as well?
Yes, his father was a minister.
And his name was also Michael, and they changed both names
both
to Martin?
Both were Michael, and they were both changed to Martin Luther.
Both changed to Martin. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break. We got to give a chance for everybody to put their sponsorships in there, and we'll be back in just a minute playing Mother Song and talk some more about Martin Luther King. Hello, KLSU. Thanks for running the radio show and Radio Universidad in Salamanca, Spain. One more time, if you want to catch us on Facebook, look up Rock School Radio Show, and that is where you'll find us. Back in 1 minute. Rock School. Rock School, as we talk about Martin Luther King Jr., let me throw out a question to you two guys. not like you don't know it's coming, but still, I want to throw it out to you and just get your opinion on this. As I was doing some research into Martin Luther King, and you know, since you're the scholars on it, I want to get your feedback on it. In 64, King becomes the youngest person to receive the Nobel Peace Prize. Correct?
Correct.
Right. For the for his work to end racial segregation and discrimination through civil disobedience, right? Towards the end of his life, then, around 68, he begins to refocus his efforts on ending poverty and stopping the Vietnam War. Why is that? Did he feel that, you know, it had been taken up, the civil rights, you know, moniker had been taken up by others? I mean, was the nation's conscience moving in the right direction? Why did he sort of change his focus?
Well, I think, I don't really believe, in my opinion, he changed his focus. I think what you saw was that pieces of legislation came out that dealt with segregation, with the Voting Rights Act, Civil Rights Act. So although the nation was moving toward a much more peaceful nation in terms of those issues, he looked at other issues that still represented what the struggle of the African-American folks were about at that particular time. Mm-hmm. And so while we dealt with segregation, he dealt that through legislation, civil rights acts, and those kind of things, those were some new issues that brought to the forefront. Again, Dr. King was a man of peace. And so anytime a man of peace is dealing with a Vietnam War or poverty or social issues such as those, so he looked at that as being some more social ills that America was facing.
So he saw it all as the same thing.
The same thing, in my opinion. So although there were different issues that were totally different than what we saw in the past that he dealt with in the past, those were still issues that resonated with the African American community, that dealt directly with the African American community, and economics was big. You know, poverty. You know, you have to be on the level playing field in order for folks to be on the same wavelength. So he wanted to deal with poverty. He wanted to bring up the African American through that limelight. And then because of his stance on nonviolence, he just thought that the Vietnam War, in my opinion, was something that the United States should not have been in.
Okay.
And I would agree with Dr. Donald. I think it was not an end to the civil rights movement. I think it was an expansion. The poor people's movement, it actually reached out to all people, beyond people of color, to level the playing field. And with the Vietnam War, like Dr. Donald said, it was he's a man of peace. And funds being dedicated to that war moved funds away from social services that could help with the poor people's movement. So I don't see it as an end to the civil rights movement. I see it as expanding it to in a broader sense.
Okay. Let me play a song, then we'll get back. And I want to ask you one more just sort of open-ended question and get your topic, get your thoughts on the topic. This is a song by a group called Extreme, and it needs a little bit of an intro because the title of it kind of would make people go, what? The title is called Peacemaker Die. And it is the only song that I'm going to play during the entire show that actually has the stamp of approval of the King family, because in the song, it uses the I Have a Dream speech. It uses the actual audio from the speech. And as you probably know, you can't use that speech unless you are given permission to use it. So the group Extreme sent the song to the King family and said, here's the concept of it. It's written from the standpoint of somebody who dislikes those who wish to make peace. And as we've seen time and time again, the peacemaker is assassinated, killed. And during an audio section in the middle where just the guitar is playing, you hear King's speech. Well, the King family listened to it and said, by all means, use the speech. So this one actually put together with King in mind. This is Extreme. This is Peacemaker Die right here, Rock School. From the album Three Sides to Every Story, that's Extreme, Peacemaker Die right here on Rock School as we talk about Martin Luther King Jr. Eric Summers and Dr. Dwayne Donald joining us here in the studio to discuss the man and his life. This is, of course, the week where we as the United States celebrate the life of Martin Luther King Jr. Can I throw another question at you guys that's just sort of open-ended since you're the scholars of this man on campus and see if you can't sort of throw back your opinions at me?
Sure.
39 years old. That's how long he lived. It's a question of how much life can you throw in 39 years? All the marches, all the speeches, all the accomplishments. He has a PhD with which he wrote a dissertation for. It's not like he was given an honorary PhD. I mean, he earned this thing. Do you believe there was ever a time with all his accomplishments that King sat back, crossed his arms, sighed, and said, we've won, we've succeeded, you know, that's that, let's take a break? I know that sounds an odd question, but there has to be a time. We won. We did it. Hooray.
It's actually a great question. There were small victories throughout. But I don't, with Dr. King being a servant of the people, I don't think that he would feel we've won. I think that he would look for other people that need help and assistance and find other missions. So I don't think that he would declare victory. And with what was going on at the time with the criticisms from white ministers in Birmingham that thought that he should have taken another course of action, and black civil rights leaders like the Malcolm X, who didn't agree with his tactics.
By any means necessary.
By any means necessary.
Sure.
I wonder, to answer a question with a question, I wonder if he ever just wanted to throw his hands up and give up.
I think he's human.
Yeah, I think that would be the human thing to do, to say, hey, this is hard, and it may end up with me or my family being hurt. I know that whatever I do, I put my family first and wonder and try to take care of their safety. So I wonder if he would ever thought about giving up, to answer a question with a question.
Yeah, some of the marches, I mean, the St. Augustine marches, I mean, they were met with, you know, supremacists and things like that. I mean, that's really force meeting non-force marches.
Yeah.
That had to be scary as anything.
And before he was actually killed, he was stabbed at a book signing. So it was very dangerous. So you kind of wonder if he ever wanted to give up.
Yeah. Well, I do agree with what Dr. Summers is saying. But as you know, I'm not a minister, but I do have understand how ministers think. And I think one thing that Dr. King probably thought in his mind was that he's doing God's work. And so when the minister thinks he's doing God's work, he believes and he knows that God is behind him and working with him. And so I believe that Dr. King knew there was a work to be done. And although the work was very tiresome, the work was very met with very much hostility, he felt that that work was being done was because he was called to do that. You know, some of the research talks about that Dr. King in 1 year did over 200 speeches, traveled over 780,000 miles just doing all these marches and those kind of things, because he truly believed that he was doing the work that he was set out to do. And so, you know, he went to Memphis. People told him not to go to Memphis. People told him not to do the march on Selma. People told him not to do these particular marches. But when you have it in your mindset and you believe that this is a work that God has meant for you to do, then all those obstacles that may be in front of you, you go to those obstacles knowing that you have somebody on your side that will get you through those things. And so his work was meant to be what it was meant to be. And he did those things based on his belief, I believe, in God, based on him being a minister. Now, ordinary person such as myself, who's not a minister, may, you know, like Eric said, may have said, hey, I got enough of this. You know, we've had some small successes. We've got the Voting Rights Bill Act passed. We've got the Civil Rights Act done. So, you know, we've got these things already done. So there's nothing more that I could do. But I believe because of his faith in God and the work that he was set out to do, based on that belief, is why he kept going.
Yeah, entirely possible. You may be 100% right. Let's play some James Taylor. Here's one he wrote from the album New Moonshine, one for Dr. King. This is called Shed a Little Light, right here, Rock School.
Let us turn our thoughts today to Martin Luther King and recognize that there are ties between us, all men and women. Ties of hope and love, sister and brother.
All right, got to take a break here. I got 30 seconds. Who's got a fact for me that'll fill 30 seconds?
Dr. King was a Trekkie.
No, come on.
I'm telling you, he loved Star Trek.
But like the original TV series?
The original TV series back in the 60s. And as a matter of fact, he encouraged Nichelle Nichols to remain as an actress on the show.
That was Uhura.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And so,
why?
I think at that particular time, you know, there was not very many African American women portrayed on TV in the manner such as she was. So he just wanted her to remain on TV to show the African Americans a good light.
Martin Luther King was a Trekkie.
Was a Trekkie. I can imagine him right now, you know, going to those conventions right now.
Live long and prosper.
Hey, I believe
see, that's the thing. You don't hear that from a fourth grade history teacher. What you get are the basics and such, and that, you know, you're humanizing this man for history. I think that's wonderful. Hello, WBSD, Burlington, Wisconsin, and KSCL in Shreveport. Thanks for running the radio show. We'll be back in 1 minute to talk about something that your fraternity is really taking care of, what's happening in Washington, D.C. Back in a minute. Rock School. I pitched it before the break that we would be talking to Duane Donald about something that his fraternity is doing to honor Dr. King in Washington, D.C. What's going on?
Yes, the Martin Luther King Jr. National Memorial is going to be erected in Washington, D.C. at the Washington Mall. This effort started in 1996 by the fraternity, the Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity. There's hundreds of millions of dollars that had to be raised, so
sure.
We couldn't do this by ourselves. So we actually got some other companies to be involved in this. But the MLK Jr. National Memorial will be the first in the National Mall area to honor an African American. Dr. King is only the second non-president to be commemorated in such a way. So,
I'm going to put you on the spot. Who's the first?
You
don't know?
Let's see.
Now I got to look it up.
I don't really know.
I don't either.
We'll have Chad
look it up off air.
I don't know that. I don't know that. But I do know this, though, that construction has begun on that monument.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, I looked at the website today, and your listeners can go to the website. It's www.mlkmemorial.org.
Okay.
And right now, it's 54% complete. And so
good.
We're looking at an actual completion date of sometime late summer of 2011. And I think that's going to be a great addition to the mall, that has somebody such as Dr. King representing in such a fantastic way.
Now, is it going to have a representation of Dr. King, or is it going to be just sort of a spire or something like that? Will it actually have a picture or a statue of him?
A statue that's actually going to be, I can't really describe it, but I would caution your listeners to go to the website, but an actual statue, not necessarily a statue, but something that's going to be framed where you can actually see his face.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's going to be an outstanding tribute to Dr. King. And of course, the Alpha Men were actually the lead on this, but of course, there are so many others to thank in raising those funds that were necessary in order for that to happen.
Good. Give the website one more time.
It's www.mlkmemorial.org.
Excellent. One more for Dr. Martin Luther King. This is Stevie Wonder's album, Hotter Than July, and the song Happy Birthday. Stevie Wonder wrote the song when politicians like Reagan and McCain were opposed to a national holiday honoring Dr. King, basically asking the question, are you serious? But the song's called Happy Birthday. It sounds like this. Rock School. Last break here on Rock School. We're here once again with Eric Summers and Dr. Duane Donald talking about Martin Luther King. The thing, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but when I think of Dr. Martin Luther King, I think of rhetoric, the fact that he could speak like no one else. And I also think of his marches. Now, let me ask you guys a question about today. You know what happened in Arizona. A clearly disturbed young man did it. People are upset. We want something to happen. We want to affect change. What would happen today, do you suppose, if somebody decided to take up the moniker of King and say to the young people of today, we're going on a march? And the kid would look at it, are we going to throw rocks? No, we're going to march. Mm-hmm. Or are we going to get into a fight? No, we're going to march. What else are we doing? Nothing. We're going to march. Would it work today? Would it have the same effect? Would it affect change the same way it did in King's time, or has that set of variables just passed?
You know, I really don't know if it would work. We're so far removed from the large gathering to impact change, we may need to get back to things like that. I think some of King's marches were successful because of the media. Mm-hmm. There was violence, the hoses being turned on people in, that were nonviolent, mm-hmm. the dogs being unleashed on the people. So I think the media helped promote change, with the rest of America seeing these people marching in a nonviolent fashion. Right. And then pretty much all hell breaking loose.
The bully factor. They sided with the people who didn't fight back.
Exactly. But there's strength in numbers. So if we all join together and show the world that we want change, it can't hurt. But I don't know if it would have the same impact that it would in King's days.
What do you think?
I believe that one of the problems with what we have in the United States is there are no true leaders when we talk about people that are not political. And what I mean by it, of course, we look at the president as a leader. We look at the Speaker of the House as maybe a leader. But in King's time, people respected him so much that he could make a comment or say that we're going to do this march, or we're going to do this in a nonviolent stance. And people, because of their respect for him, because they believed that he had their best interest at heart, would follow. Hmm. I don't see that we have those type of leaders in today's society as we had back in the early 60s. So I don't believe that will work. And again, technology plays a big part in that today as well, because we're so technology savvy now. But again, my main focus is that we don't have the leadership skills that the Dr. Kings and the Malcolm X had back in the Civil Rights Movement, that can gather a large number of people in one particular place for them to march and for them to do these nonviolent marches. So I believe that it's basically based on the leadership styles that we have in today's society, as opposed to what we had back in the early 60s. So I have to I almost disagree with my colleague, Dr. Summers, that I don't believe that because of the leadership styles and the leadership skills that our leaders have today, that they can gather the folks and to have the type of marches that we had back in Dr. King's day.
Well, I got to tell you, I appreciate you both coming in and talking with me. And we're recording this much before Martin Luther King Day. Now, January 17th, the campus is closed, but you're celebrating Martin Luther King the day after, which would be January 20th. Obviously, this show will air afterwards, but good luck. Good luck on the day. January 18th. My apologies. January 18th on the date. So good luck with everything you have planned, gentlemen. And I can't tell you how happy I am you came by to talk with us about this. Once again, let me give your names. Eric Summers, the head of the Office of Multicultural and International Student Affairs, and Dr. I'm going to do it again. Dwayne Donald, coordinator of Special Projects and TRIO. Guys, thank you for coming by.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank
all
you.
Right.
Let me play one more and we'll get out of here. Patty Griffin, Up to the Mountain. She calls it the MLK song from 1980. That's all for this week. Thank you very much. Class is dismissed.